What's in a Name? Sometimes profound irony. I'm Paul Plagg, and this is Aero News. Brian Kissinger got the nickname Brain when an embroiderer misspelled his first name on a hat during his stint in the Air Force. Later, the name would take on a cruel irony. But today, he's turned it to advantage. ANN's managing editor Rob Finfrock talks with Brian, or Brain, about a unique project he's about to undertake on today's Aero News special feature.
I am with Brian Kissinger, who is planning to undertake a rather unusual mission in about a month from now. Brian, why don't you tell me a little bit about this rather unique idea and what prompted you to undergo this endeavor?
Yeah, sure. It's sort of, I don't know exactly what date it was that I started or decided to go on this trip, but, you know, basically, you know, I survived brain cancer almost 4 years ago now. And, you know, being a pilot since I was a teenager and being in the Air Force as a navigator, I mean, I've loved aviation, you know, for a long, long time. And, you know, I wanted to give something back. I mean, I had a basically a miracle happen to me, being able to survive such a horrible disease. And, you know, I ran a marathon, raised some money for cancer and brain tumor research. And I said, you know what? What better than being able to pair, you know, my two loves of aviation and also being able to try to give something back, you know, raising some money for brain tumor and cancer research, you know, together. And just so happened I stumbled upon a 1942 Piper L4 Cub that was, like, stalled in its restoration process out of the airport that I fly out of. And, you know, everything came together. And so I bought into that airplane and started restoring it and decided I'd fly it across the country for a few weeks and, you know, raise awareness and hopefully raise some money for brain tumor cancer research.
Wow. So the plane just kind of presented itself to you then?
Yeah. It's amazing how things work out. I mean, it was, you know, the back of the hangar, I've seen it a few times before. And I knew the owner of it. He's Marvin Campbell, the guy that runs the airport and owns Sparta Aero Services, which is the FBO, out in Sparta, Illinois, you know, where I fly out of. And, you know, I just started talking to him about it and you know, how things just sort of come together. I mean, it's like I had a guiding hand in all of this, you know, and it's just sort of neat. I mean, the airplane, you know, the history on it is, you know, like any L4 Cub, you know, they made almost 6,000 of them during the war, World War II, of course. But this one was in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, where they train Army Air Corps pilots for those type of missions, for forward observing and artillery observations. But this one was just had been in an accident in 1999. They started restoration, you know, got the fabric back on it, but it was just sitting in the back of the hangar. They'd sort of given up on the restoration, and I think it was just sitting there, sort of kind of waiting for me to pick it up.
So. Now, were you a pilot prior to the cancer diagnosis you received?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, I did my first solo when I was 19, and then went in the Air Force and was a navigator, you know, ever since I was 21 years old.
Okay.
So, you know, long story, you know, of flying. I mean, when I was in college, University of Florida, go Gators, by the way. you know, I didn't have much money, like a lot of starving students, college students. But out at Gainesville Airport, there's a gentleman that owned the FBO out there, the flight school. It allowed me actually to wash and wax airplanes in exchange for flight time. And that's how I got my first 25 flight hours. I got my first solo. And then I went on into the Air Force and flew. And the Special Operations Command flew MC-130E and H models for about 8 years. And then got out of the Air Force and stayed in the Air Force Reserves. And then once I got out of the active duty Air Force, I mean, I really got into general aviation hot and heavy. I mean, I bought my first airplane, which was a 1946 Luscombe.
Wow.
And then just, I mean, I was tinkering with airplanes all the time. I got my, you know, commercial, single engine, multi-engine, CFI instrument, all those ratings. And just had a number of different airplanes. I mean, I was always getting bored with something and would sell one and buy another one. Had a Citabria, 1938, Aranca K. You know, it was always something to I just loved. It was always a passion. And, you know, then I got called back to active duty in the Air Force after the events of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And wound up here at Scott Air Force Base near St. Louis. And that's when I found out I had the brain cancer.
While you were stationed?
Right.
Still in the Air Force?
Still in the Air Force. Yeah, I'd been called back, and I was still on active duty in the Air Force. It was the summer of 2003. And I was just out playing tennis one day on one of these hot St. Louis days that they get around here. And, you know, I thought I had a case of heat exhaustion. I basically just passed out,
right.
Hit my head on the tennis court, and did a CT scan of my head and saw the tumor, you know, that way.
Wow.
So now, very fortunate.
Yeah, definitely. You did undergo surgery, obviously, and also chemotherapy. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, they did about a six-hour surgery to remove the tumor. Luckily, you know, it was in a place where they could get to it quite easily. And then we decided to treat it very aggressively with, you know, we started out about 2 years of chemotherapy, and we actually only did about 20 months of it.
Mm-hmm.
With Temodar, which is a chemotherapy drug which targets brain tumors, you know, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked. I mean, you know, here going on 4 years now in remission.
That's fantastic. All the best to you on that regard. Now, you have a somewhat unusual nickname that, either through Providence or through just an odd series of events, ties into this on a number of levels. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your nickname and how that led to Brain's Flight?
Yeah, that is sort of funny. I get asked that quite a bit because everybody thinks I'm misspelling my name or misspelling, you know, it should be Brian's Flight or something like that. And it's been that way my whole life. I mean, of course, my first name is Brian, B-R-I-A-N. And, you know, we're doing Brain's Flight, B-R-A-I-N-S, Flight. And basically, when I was in the Air Force, I was over in the 1st Special Ops Squadron in Okinawa, Japan, and we were on a deployment up in Korea, and we all got these hats made. And they had the airplane on the front, and we, each, of course, got our name put on the back, embroidered on the back, so we, you know, they all looked the same. We didn't want to get them mixed up. And so mine, of course, was supposed to say Brian, B-R-I-A-N, and, of course, the person misspelled it, Brain. And so I was in the process of cutting it out because I didn't want it to be Brain. And my operations officer came up and looked at it and said, well, I think that's going to stick. And that became my nickname or call sign or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And that was in 1993, I guess. I was the first lieutenant in the Air Force at the time. And most of my Air Force friends to this day, they don't call me Brian. They call me Brain. And it's definitely not because I'm smart. It's just because of that misspelling of my name back in 1993.
We'll hear more with Rob Finfrock and Brian Kissinger after a word from our sponsors. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Okay, you got the license and now you're renting or even own a plane. Now what? Hi, I'm Tom Gresham, host of Wings to Adventure Television, and every week on the Outdoor Channel, we show you incredible places you can visit in your plane. Shot in spectacular high definition, Wings to Adventure captures cool planes, interesting people, and fly-in getaways you haven't heard of. Plus, we always have fun. There's more info at wingstoadventure.com.
Welcome back to our Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. Today, ANN Managing Editor Rob Finfrock is talking with Brian Kissinger, who's planning to barnstorm in an L4 to raise money for brain tumor research. So, how ironic is it that a chance misspelling gave him a nickname that now provides a boost for his mission?
It's really ironic. I mean, and it's neat in a way. I mean, you can't really take offense to it. I never have. I always sort of laughed at it. I mean, humor is the best medicine, I think, a lot of times.
Amen.
You got to laugh at everything, you know, it just gets you through a lot of things. I mean, I remember, I always like to be positive, but I remember, you know, literally when my head was cracked open, it was hard for me to smile because of, you know, all the stitches and, you know, I have titanium screws in my head and mesh and everything else, but when that was all fresh right after the surgery, it was literally hard for me to smile just because of the pain and everything from the surgery. But just, you know, being able to smile limited that I could was helpful, you know, and like you said, the brain and using that and the brain's flight, I think is helpful. And I'm very, very lucky, very, very fortunate that I'm here today. I mean, there's people with the same type of tumor that I have or other ones. I mean, there's over 120 types of brain tumors out there, which make it very, very difficult to get their arms around this disease. People that just aren't as fortunate. I mean, they can't walk out of the hospital. They can't talk after their surgery. And here I am the very next day after mine, literally walking out of the hospital.
Wow, the day after the surgery?
Yeah, the day after.
Wow.
So, I mean, that was the fastest recovery my neurosurgeon had ever seen, he said.
Wow.
I couldn't wait to get out of there. I mean,
oh, I can imagine.
So.
Well, I tell you, you sound like you're ready to undertake a transcontinental flight, and let's talk a little bit about that. 1942 Piper L4, the military scout version of the ubiquitous Piper Cub, not the first choice in an aircraft that most people decide to undergo a long cross country in, even if that long cross country is a 100-mile run.
Right.
You mentioned that the plane was kind of presented to you, and it's now you are now restoring it. Is that correct?
Sure. Yeah, we're restoring it, and I'm out there every minute I can get out to the airport to work on it. Have a lot of people helping me, a lot of people from my EAA chapter 64. And I mean, we're out there Saturday all day long, sometime in the evenings when I can get out to the airport, you know, some days like on Sunday after church. But just basically every minute we can get on the airplane, we're working on it. And we're very far along now, probably this weekend. Even though, you know, as the time crunch gets here, being May 2nd right now, about to hang the engine probably this weekend and looking for flight tests, my first flight probably either the next weekend or the weekend after.
Fantastic. And you're targeting a June 1st launch, is that correct?
Right. Yeah, June 1st launch, and we'll be taking off from the St. Louis Downtown Airport, which is in Cahokia, Illinois.
Okay. Why don't we talk a little bit about your planned route? I assume that you have mapped out the route that you're going to take to hit all the lower 48 states. Where are your first few destinations?
Yeah, sure. Like I said, I'll be taking off from St. Louis Downtown Airport, which you can see the arch from there, and then be heading east and stopping in Indianapolis, and then going on to Cincinnati, staying at the Tri-State Warbird Museum there over that weekend. And then on to Moorhead, Kentucky, and that was actually where I was born, even though I grew up in Florida. And then traveling on to Apex, North Carolina. I have a good friend down there, and we're going to have a little fundraising activity. And then flying out to Kitty Hawk to first flight after that.
Fantastic.
Just a little day trip. And then coming back near Apex, but to Sanford, North Carolina. And then through Spartanburg, South Carolina, a couple stops in Georgia, and then wound up down in Charleston, South Carolina for the 8th and 9th of June.
Wow.
And then going down to Florida, down to Central Florida, probably around Brooksville or Inverness, Florida, in the area where I grew up, and then up to the panhandle of Florida, Pensacola. And then starting to head out west from there, Dallas, San Antonio, El Paso, and then out to Phoenix. And I only have 3 weeks for my trip, so I'm not sure how much further west I'll make from there. Mm-hmm. And then depending on how my time goes, I probably might have to start heading back home from Phoenix. And if that's the case, then I'll start up to Flagstaff, Albuquerque, Amarillo, making sure I stop back to Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Definitely.
Where the airplane was in, during the war, and then coming back home.
Okay. So this isn't a true, you're not aiming to hit every single state then. You're just, you want to undergo, hit as many states as you can. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, that's, and, you know, unfortunately I have only have 3 weeks. And, you know, a lot of these places I'll be stopping at, like the Tri-State Warbird Museum, and staying there for a day and a half. And we have some activities planned, some different fundraising activities and benefits. So it's not really, you know, be in the air as much as I would maybe like to hit as much, geography, but mm-hmm. Mainly to get out and see as many people as we can. Maybe in another few years I'll try to hit all the four corners of the lower 48. So that'd be Brains Flight 2.
There you go. It's always good to plan ahead.
Yeah.
And these benefits that you'll be stopping for will be to raise money for the National Brain Tumor Association?
Right. Yeah, National Brain Tumor Foundation. And
okay.
All the money is going directly to brain tumor and cancer research.
Well, I tell you, this sounds like a fantastic way to combine flight and the all the inspiration that undergoes, along with a rather inspirational story. Brian, I thank you very much for your time talking to us today, and please keep us posted on the status of your trip.
I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.